In this program, Joseph discusses the call of the hero, a theme which he explored throughout his career, most notably in his classic book, The Hero with a Thousand Faces. The hero's journey, as he termed it, is of course reflected in ancient myths from around the world and provides the background for Joseph's famous admonition, "Follow your bliss," as well as his more subtle, less well-known observation, "The insecure way is really the secure way." This conversation took place in the fall of 1984, when Joseph was 80 years of age. We began with a quotation from The Hero with a Thousand Faces and a question about the origins of the call of the hero as a mythic theme.
Often in actual life, and not infrequently in myths and popular tales, we encounter the dull case of the call unanswered, for it is always possible to turn the ear to other interests. Refusal of the summons converts the adventure into its negative. Walled in boredom, hard work, or culture, the subject loses the power of significant affirmative action and becomes a victim to be saved. His flowering world becomes a wasteland of dry stones, and his life feels meaningless. Even though, like King Minos, he may through titanic effort succeed in building an empire of renown. Whatever house he builds, it will be a house of death, a labyrinth of cyclopean walls to hide from him his minotaur. All he can do is create new problems for himself and await the gradual approach of his disintegration. These are the words of Joseph Campbell from his classic work, The Hero with a Thousand Faces. In this age of the religion of materialism, the politics of expediency, and the glorification of greed, there continues to be the still, small voice of the call, the silent, unsung plea within each of us to give up one's conditioned view of the world and follow the visionary adventure of the creative hero. This is the true challenge of contemporary times. Joseph, when did the call first appear in mythology?
In mythology, as the essence of mythology, I would say, the theme of the visionary quest, the one who goes to follow a vision, it appears in practically every mythology I know, one way or another.
So it's like the core genesis of all myth.
Yes, because it is the one who has gone on the adventure and brought back the message who is the founder of institutions and the giver of life and vitality to his community.
You know, later in that chapter in The Hero with a Thousand Faces, which was entitled Refusal of the Call, you talked about how we often follow society, and with the call, the reverse really is what's appropriate.
There are two ways of living a mythologically grounded life, and one is just to what I call the way of the village compound, where you remain within the sphere of your people. That can be a very strong and powerful and noble life. There are, however, people who feel this isn't the whole story. And today, you see, when all historical circumstances are changing and we no longer have enclosing horizons that shut us away from the knowledge even of other people, when new worlds are breaking in on us all the time, it's inevitable that a person with any sense of openness to new experience will feel, no, this won't do the way we're living. Do you see what I mean? And so one goes out for oneself to find a broader base, a broader relationship. On the other hand, there's plenty of reason for those who don't have this feeling to remain within the field, because our societies are today so rich, you know, in the gifts that they can render. However, if a person has had the sense of what I, in that chapter, called the call, you know, the feeling of there's an adventure for me, And if he doesn't follow that, but that man remains in the society or the in-group only for practical reasons, because this is safe, this is secure, life dries up. And then he comes to that condition which I heard about a few years ago, a definition of late middle age, when you've got to the top of the ladder and found it's against the wrong wall. Now, I taught school in a boys' prep school for 1 year. That was a rough time, I tell you. It's all matters of discipline. But I think that's a critical time in a young man's life. That's when new ideas begin to open up, new possibilities of life. And then Dad is saying, you know, well, I wish you'd study law, which is secure, you know, and none of this fooling around. And I had young men who'd ask me, you know, do you think I can write? Do you think I can write? I could be a writer. I say, do you think you could stand 10 years of not making it? If one has the guts, you might say, to follow the risk, life opens up all along the line. I'm not superstitious, but I do believe in spiritual magic, you might say. I feel if one follows what I call his bliss, the thing that really gets you deep in the gut and that you feel is your life, doors will open up. They do. And they have in my life, and they have in many lives that I know. There will be no program out ahead of you because nobody's ever done this before. But you'd be surprised if you're on your way, it'll open up. And the other point is, if you follow your bliss, you'll have your bliss, whether you have money or not. If you follow money, you may lose the money and then you don't even have that. The secure way is really the insecure way. And the way in which the richness of the quest builds up. Now, here I am well along in life, and it's still building up, Michael. I tell you, it's terrific.
Sounds great. I'm looking forward to getting older. I listen to you, Joseph, and you make it so positive.
Well, that old story of Brownings, wasn't it, Rabbi Ben Ezra? Grow old along with me. The best is yet to be.
You're mentioning the idea of the real security is in having no security. Calls to mind that we live in a society, as I mentioned in the introduction, the religion of materialism, that really stresses the importance of so-called materialistic security. And I'm wondering, and when one looks at other cultures and other mythologies, whether this idea of security has always been present, or is this a phenomena based on 20th century industrial technology progress?
Well, I think the emphasis in our world is there because we have so much of it. Life is made pretty secure for us, so much so that we forget what the dangers of life really are. We even have insurance, even have life insurance. And all of this.
Paradoxical.
There's no risk. And it's inevitable that that would become a heavy, you know. But on the other hand, there are so many examples of people today who have adventured the adventure. Wonderful people. And they are, you might say, counter statements to this emphasis that of the popular mind on security. Tenure in the professions, you know, and all that kind of thing.
In a sense, it's the going for the jumping over the edge and moving into the adventure that really catalyzes the creativity, isn't it?
I would say so. You don't have creativity otherwise.
Otherwise, there's no fire. You're just following somebody else's rules.
Well, my wife is a dancer, you know, and she has had dance companies for many, many years. And I don't know whether I should talk about this, but when the young people are really adventuring it, it's amazing how much, what guts they have and what meager lives they can be living, you know, and yet the richness of the action in the studio. Then you're going to have a concert season.